All righty. Well, thank you for joining me. And tonight I was going to have George Webb, and I'm sorry at a last minute this didn't work out, but he'll join us again another time. And I did get a chance to talk with him about some things I'll share with you. So we'll be back here in a minute. But I just wanted to say that there are so many things that are crazy going on in the world. And after talking to George, it's even crazier than I thought. It's all this. When people say they don't believe in conspiracies, this is all linked together. COVID, the Ukraine, even Ohio. I mean, it's really something. And he put a couple pieces in that to fit. So sorry he couldn't make it with us tonight, but I'm going to try and do the best. And I'm also going to talk about why I don't think these vaccines have anything to do with mRNA. And that may sound crazy, but I think I'll make the case. So we'll see you back in a minute. Use the code REBEL, support the program. We'll see you in a minute. Thank you.
Your own government has the power to activate a kill switch on all telecommunications, instantly shutting down all private phone calls and texts. An EMP weapon or solar flare can achieve the same result. Rolling blackouts or permanent power outages will also take out the power supply to cell tower antennas, rendering mobile devices all but useless. During these emergencies, how do you stay in touch with the important people in your life anywhere on the planet? The answer is the Bivy Stick at SAT123.com. The Bivy Stick is a two-way satellite text messaging device that uses a satellite constellation, not cell towers, to send and receive text messages. It works anywhere on planet Earth, including in war zones or blackout areas. In unpredictable times, the Bivy Stick helps you stay connected when it matters most. Visit SAT123.com to get one while they're still available.
Hi, this is Patrick Byrne, CEO of the America Project. The America Project is out here fighting for you across a whole range of activities, from the border to COVID to election integrity. But a key partner in our fight has been the uncensored truth that is carried at Brighteon TV. So you're watching the right channel. We're saying Mike Adams and Brighteon TV.
At the Brighteon store, we offer a variety of colloidal silver solutions that we make in Texas using Texas rainwater and specialized circuitry that I personally designed to produce silver ions in purified rainwater. We have a colloidal silver extra strength spray, a silver-based first aid gel, as well as a colloidal silver herbal mouthwash solution that people just rave about. Each one of these is subjected to our rigorous laboratory testing for metals, glyphosate, and microbiology in order to ensure product purity and safety for your health. We manufacture our own silver products right in the heart of Texas and deliver them to you using our own warehousing and fulfillment infrastructure that we built to serve real America. All of us here at Brighteon thank you for your support. Shop our silver products at brighteonstore.com.
Alrighty, so like I say, I'm sorry I didn't have a guest due to a last minute complication, and that was my fault. So we'll get this all sorted out. But I'm going to talk a little bit tonight about the vaccines, because everybody's trying to figure out how we can save people from the damages that we see happening. And part of that is obviously, you know, some of it is just universal treatments. But some of it would be nice to know technically what's in here. And I think one of the points to be made here, if it's not RNA and if this doesn't change your DNA, then people have to stop being so fatalistic and they have to realize, okay, they've been poisoned by something. Let's make this better. Now, it's, you know, and I think specifically I'm speaking to doctors there. It's very hard when you think you've maybe taken something yourself that's going to kill you to actually look at it. You know, it's a psychological maneuver that people, we all have, that we try and avoid thinking about things that are just too hard to think about. And that's what we have to get out of. If we're going to save people from having potentially billions of people dying, we need to really think seriously about procedures and what we can do. And I think the first thing is to throw out the idea this is changing our DNA. And I will just make a big point there. You know, there are two kind of, this is my own technology, my own terminology. I mean, I didn't read this anywhere, but this is just my big picture looking at it. There's kind of two schools of thought about the way DNA works. The Yuval Hararis of the world would have you believe that DNA is like a ticker tape, that it's just tick, 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 computer, GCTA, GJGGGT. And if I change a few of those, I'm going to change the human experience, right? It's a great ego booster to think that you can uncreate us, you know, but I don't think it works that way. The ticker tape, you know, we have 3.42 billion base pairs in our genome. Now, they first tried to convince us, and they convinced many, most people still, that they could take a swab stick with 16 bases, 16 out of 3.42 billion. They could take 16 bases, put it in your nose, wave it around in the air, develop it in this machine, and tell you that you have a disease or not. Now, let's just really take a step back and think of that. 16 out of 3.4 billion, that's not even a rounding error. That's just like dust in the universe. They've told us for all the generations that they told us that there were viruses. They also told us that we had viral DNA in our DNA. So if that's the case, why do you think that you can tell with 16 bases that we're infected with anything? And secondly, even if you think that you're going to damage us with the spike protein they claim is 1,000 to 1,200 bases, do you really think that's going to change? This is like putting a dart into Moby Dick, okay? It's not going to be enough to do anything. There's something wrong with this whole story. But in any case, disease is not synonymous with germs. Disease simply means disease. It means a lack of comfort. Now, it may come as a surprise that viruses have not really been completely isolated and they haven't been proven like we think they've been. And that even Louis Pasteur admitted on his deathbed to lying about the ability to transmit disease from a pure specimen of bacteria. So bacterial disease may not be what it is. I believe in bacterial disease. I believe that bacteria can overgrow and cause problems. I've stopped believing about viruses, except in the Latin form of the term. So keep in mind, we're dealing with a group of people that are running this show that believe in this old Babylonian word magic. And they believe that if they tell you what they're going to do to you, then somehow they're alleviating their karmic debt. You don't have to understand what they're telling you. They can tell you in a weird language or tell you in tricky language, legalese, so to speak. And you might not understand it, but that's your fault, not their fault. That's kind of the philosophy I believe is happening. And so when they told us that there was a virus that was spread all over China that was killing people, they were exactly correct. But what they didn't expect you to understand that in Latin, virus means toxin or poison. It does not mean a little animalcule that flies out of your mouth and makes you sick. So you see, what they did was tell you that there's a poison that's out there that's going to make people sick. It's been spread, a poison that has been spread in Wuhan that's going to make people sick. That makes a lot of sense. I was watching, I can't remember the show. It was an old show. Oh, I think it was the Blacklist, actually. I think it was the old, that's been on was 12 seasons. I think it was the Blacklist. And there was an episode where there was a former military bioweaponeer that decides to avenge her husband's death and by contaminating people with a virus, okay? And she's in a, you know, diner, and she has the antidote that she sprays in her mouth, but everybody else gets sick. But then when they go to do the research and they're back in their lab and they're talking, or back in the FBI headquarters, they're saying, do we know it's a virus? And somebody says, oh yeah, there were lots of organic compounds there. Okay, organic compounds, i.e. organic toxins. Okay, that didn't tell you that it was a germ. It didn't mention DNA or RNA. It didn't tell you anything like they're trying to pull the wool over our eyes. So if that's the base, so I think this is really what's going on. That's predictive programming in the movies. But okay, so here's what I think makes a lot of sense. First of all, why do I not believe that this is RNA in the vaccine? Well, there's the first thing I'll tell you is that in 2018, there was only one or two treatments that they used mRNA technology for. One of them was an ophthalmologic treatment. Now, keep in mind, they've spent, I think, something like $60 billion, I read somewhere, over the decades trying to research mRNA technology for cancer and for vaccines. And out of that came not very much. You know, it kind of makes you think like a NASA black program, right? It doesn't really make a lot of sense. But they came out and they had this one particular treatment that was for something in the eye. And it cost about $1 million a dose. Are you telling me that within 18 months of that price, now you've got it down to under $30 so that you can manufacture it wildly for the world? Okay, that's a little red flag for me. A slightly bigger red flag is the fact that Pfizer told us how many doses it had created by a certain date. And I've got that number in my computer somewhere. And then it tells us that they had 11 manufacturing lines that made the vaccine. So let's assume that they started production the day after they were given the approval by the EUA. Okay, we're pretty sure that didn't happen. We're pretty sure that they had this on the shelf. But in any case, let's say that they did this honestly and they waited until the EUA was approved, the emergency use authorization. And as soon as they got that, they started manufacturing the vaccine. They would have had to manufacture literally 18 and a half doses per second, round the clock, 7 days a week, no holidays, no times off, no downtime for the production line to go down for some reason. You know, no quality problems, no discards. Does anybody believe that? I mean, I had a friend that used to be a production engineer for Campbell's Soup. You can't even make, you know, you couldn't make soup that, you know, easily. And we're talking about highly technical stuff here. That has to be under some type of serious quality control, we would think. Okay, so that's a bigger red flag. But the biggest red flag of all is this, that there is still research in mRNA going on around the world. And when you read the research basic science, as I do daily about things, and you look about the mRNA basic science researchers, like for the cancer researchers, okay, they're still doing that. Here's the kind of thing they say. There's a review article that came out towards the end of 2022. So this is essentially a year and a little bit more since the first rollout of the vaccines, right? They're saying, well, you know, this mRNA technology has potential. It'd be great to use in, say, Africa for malaria. Maybe we could do something for malaria. But it will never work because they don't have the infrastructure to keep this stuff cold long enough. Now think about what happened, okay? Remember when they first, the day after the EUA or the day of the EUA, suddenly this stuff was already out in the dispensaries and it had been chilled. They made a big show that they had to chill it to 80 below zero centigrade or something like that. It was really, really a low temperature. And they made a point that that's what you had to do to keep this stuff from degrading. But after a couple weeks, then pretty soon it was, no, we can thaw it for 10 days. After the news cycle kind of went away, then it was just leave it on the pharmaceutical shelf forever. And then you can just use it. You know, they didn't make a big deal about keeping it cold. So I looked up multiple basic science papers about degradation of mRNAs. And depending on the type of mRNA and the type of, you know, whether it's in blood, whether it's in plasma, whether it's in a nanoparticle, whether it's in some other fluid, depends on how long, and the type of mRNA depends on how long this thing lasts. Okay, the half-life is considered the time at which you can only find half of what's remaining. So 50% is degraded. And the half-life of this stuff, depending on the time and all the things I just mentioned, it goes from 3.5 minutes to 16 and a half hours. That's what I found. Now, I mean, if there's somebody out there that knows more about this, feel free to let me know. But that's what I'm looking at. And if that's true, then they couldn't have gotten us out of the factories without super chilling it. Okay. And that's what and in favor of my saying this is these researchers are themselves saying this. They're saying they can't use it in sub-Saharan Africa, in hot climate areas in third world countries because they don't have the infrastructure to keep it cold. So that is a big red flag. Why did we suddenly just abandon that? And that goes along with the fact that there were multiple independent labs that said they found no genetic material in this. And they were doing things like gel electrophoresis, Raman spectroscopy to find genetic material. Okay, so I don't think this is mRNA technology. So if it's not mRNA technology, what could it be? We know it's toxic. We know it's damaging people. What could it be? Well, the first thing to say is, many of the damages can come just from the lipid nanoparticle. Okay, the lipid nanoparticle has multiple things in it, including cationic lipids. And cationic lipids are lipids that have positive charges, usually a double positive charge, but they're positive charged ions. And the problem with that is that they go through your bloodstream. And the researchers, again, don't read medical stuff. They'll sugarcoat that, but they read the basic science, guys, and they'll say things. In 2018, they were saying, yeah, these cationic lipids are great. They stimulate immunity. You know, they could be used for this and that, and they could help you target cancer treatment and things, but they're just so darn toxic, and we can't seem to get rid of that. Well, they never did, in what I could find, get rid of the toxicity. They quit talking about it. That's what happens in dark programs. When dark programs go live, it just drops out of the research publication. So in any case, I'm not saying that's for sure what happened, but that's just my observation. So what I'm saying here is that the cationic lipid alone, that nano, what they call the nanoparticle coating that they claim is that carries a payload in its center, like the mRNA. You don't need the mRNA to be toxic. This cationic lipid itself is toxic. It has PEG, which we know about now, and it has graphene oxide. There's another point. There are people that still deny that there's graphene oxide in there, and they argue with you that there's no evidence of that. But I tell people, just look at how they construct these particles in the RNA research papers, and they show you what they call the graphene I want to say it's a graphene dot, but they show you the little piece of how they put this into the nanoparticle that they're talking about transporting the mRNA. So, again, I think that these things are in there, and I think those apply to it. So what do they do? Why does your blood not clot every day? Well, the reason is because we studied too much biology and not enough physics in medical school, I think. But what happens is, this is a physics problem, okay? This is a physical chemical problem because it has to do with electrons. You know, what do poisons do in general? They grab electrons away from something that's critical. If you have a protein like an enzyme in your body and you steal its electrons, it suddenly changes its function and it doesn't function anymore. And so in this situation, your blood is lined with electrons. The walls of your arteries and your veins and your little capillaries have a negative charge. Your red blood cells have negative electron charges all around them. So when they flow through the vessel, they repel each other. So it gives it beautiful laminar flow. Okay, that's what we call normal laminar flow in a vessel. But what are we seeing in people that have been vaccinated? And now we're starting to see it in the unvaccinated. We're seeing what they call rouleau formation, where it looks like the red blood cells, they may not be a clot, but they're kind of stacking up on each other like a stack of plates. They look more like a string, like an accordion thing, not so much like red blood cells would normally we see floating around and looking happy. And what's happened here, one of the ways that could happen is the cationic lipids, as it goes through the red blood cell or as it goes through the vessel, it snags the electrons. And graphene, by the way, is probably one of the, I think it's considered the most highly electron transport device we have. In other words, it will take and move electrons better than anything, better than gold wire. I mean, this is, graphene is the ultimate electron transport thing. So I think that you can just say that that's what's happening to the blood cells, and that could be causing the standard blood clots. Now, we've got other problems in that we have these white weird clots. Who knows what's causing those? But that, again, could be something else. That could be, we talked about it, I think Dr. Mihalsh and I last week or week before, talking about the hydrogel. And some of the things that people are finding, hydrogel. Well, hydrogel could propagate and do that. Smart hydrogel apparently can do that. It can make these kind of bigger entities. Who knows? That part is speculative, but at least you don't need the mRNA for finding these toxicities. Now, this gets to where, what's the point of giving us this, okay? Forget thinking that this point had anything to do with your health and wellness. There is no good reason for this. The death rate didn't justify it. This was a probably man-made disorder to begin with. We should have just taken out the bioweaponeers, not taken out the rest of the world to compensate their job. I just don't know how to say that elsewhere. So this was not a health move. This was something else. This is warfare against humanity. So what they could do is this, and this is what the research has, what the basic research has been happening behind our backs when we weren't paying attention. It's called optogenetics, and it involves wavelength. Think 5G, or think any, you know, it's all sorts of wavelengths, but 5G made it all the wavelengths possible. So think wavelength plus chemicals that respond to wavelength injected into the human body. Now, we have chemicals that are called opsins. They're in our body naturally, but they don't do much. We don't have too much in the human body, but we have like rhodopsin in the eye. It's a chemical that responds to light that helps us see colors and different things. Okay. Well, bacteria, however, have very kinetically active opsins, meaning when you shine a light on a certain wavelength of light on bacteria, they will actually turn on little, some of them, what you could turn on their little flagella and they'll swim across the petri dish. I mean, they actually use these things quite a lot. And so there's a lot of chemistry and power behind these opsins. So what they did was they hybridized bacterial opsins with good kinetics to the mediocre kinetics of mammalian opsins. They put them together, and now they've got something that can be accepted by mammals, but that act like what's in bacteria. And here's one of the studies that they did. They looked at mice, and they used the mice, they gave them the opsins that they had designed, and then they projected, they bombarded them with a wavelength, and they created arrhythmia. Now, I want you to think about that. Arrhythmia, meaning an abnormal beat of the heart. And they could control it. They talk about precise spatiotemporal control, meaning they can very fine tune where the change occurs, what part of the heart the change occurs in. They can create arrhythmia, or they can stop an arrhythmia. They can address various different parts of the heart and various different parts of the brain. And it's a combination of these opsins and wavelength. So now I want you to think about the Travis Scott concert. Okay, what happened at Travis Scott? Everybody had to be vaccinated, right? And then after the vaccine, they were okay to go into the concert. They had to walk through that spooky tube thing that was a tube through the mouth of a skull, very satanic kind of stuff. And they went in, and what were they exposed to? They were exposed to strobe lights and wavelengths of all sorts. And 10 people dropped all about the same time. Okay. It wasn't a random guy here and there. It all happened kind of at the same time. And contrary to what they wanted you to believe, it was not a crush thing. As far as I could determine, listening to the first eyewitness people, they said it wasn't a crush until they were down on the floor and you couldn't get space to do CPR. It was that kind of thing. So to me, that sounds a lot like this issue. It sounds like the use of opsins and the use of wavelength. And I think we've seen it now in South Korea. They had 100 people drop. Remember the people in China that started doing these, we saw them kind of doing this weird thing where they look behind them to the, almost always to the right. They kind of curled around and look. Sometimes they would start batting at things, and then they would drop. In a couple of those cases, we watched, they were holding their cell phone, and there was a flash of light before it started. So whether or not this is complete, whether I've got this completely right, I'm not telling you I've proven this to the nth degree. What I'm saying is, this is the possibility. And in 1995, there was actually he was a doctor of divinity, but he was giving a talk about this possibility. And he said, what will be happening is they will mandate vaccines in the future. And once they've mandate vaccines, then they will be able to control your brain with wavelength, with these long, he talked about these very long wavelengths. And he said, don't think of this as hypothetical. Think Rwanda. Now, if you remember the Hutus and the Tutsis, what happened? Like out of the blue, there was a basically genocide, that one group turned on the other that had been living next to each other forever. And he's saying that's what happened. Now that there's some reason to believe that could be true, and that that's what we are about to experience potentially. And that's what I worry more about than any RNA. I don't think this is RNA. Well, we'll be back here in a little bit on the second half, and I want to talk about a little bit about what's happening in Russia and Ukraine. So thank you. Use the code REBEL. Go to the store. Go to the Brighteon store. Support the show, and we'll see you back here in a little bit. Thank you.
At the Brighteon store, we offer a variety of colloidal silver solutions that we make in Texas using Texas rainwater and specialized circuitry that I personally designed to produce silver ions in purified rainwater. We have a colloidal silver extra strength spray, a silver-based first aid gel, as well as a colloidal silver herbal mouthwash solution that people just rave about. Each one of these is subjected to our rigorous laboratory testing for metals, glyphosate, and microbiology in order to ensure product purity and safety for your health. We manufacture our own silver products right in the heart of Texas and deliver them to you using our own warehousing and fulfillment infrastructure that we built to serve real America. All of us here at Brighteon thank you for your support. Shop our silver products at brighteonstore.com.
Hello, folks. My name is Dr. Cordy Williams, 1776 Forever Free. We're a constitutional organization that's done activism for years. Now we're launching a new series of modules that are going to help candidates get elected and avoid those scumbag consultants and campaign managers. Remember, if you want uncensored truth, go to Brighteon TV and go to 1776foreverfree.com and donate now so we can change America. God bless you and Semper Fi.
If you want to find out what's really going on, watch Brighteon TV.
Go ahead. Hey, everybody. Listen, I love Brighteon. Mike Adams, man, is a dang hero. This guy's taken so many years. He's fought so hard to get the truth out. And me and my brother, we get to tell the truth on this, right? We love the uncensored truth. We love Brighteon. Please support the network.
Hey guys, Dr. Eric DePudi, hope you're having an amazing day today. I just want to tell you, if you are not on Brighteon, literally every day you're missing out. Literally uncensored truth every day. There's no other network out there where you really can get uncensored truth, where you can actually hear things, where you can have discernment, figure out what's best for you, your friends, and your family. Myself, Tom Renz, we support this nonstop. Tell your friends, tell your family. Everybody needs to get on Brighteon for the uncensored truth. We'll see y'all soon.
I feel that Juvent is helping me to get better every day in every way.
That impact is what has been shown to help improve your bone density. Without that impact, you're missing a very important nutrient in your physical conditioning program.
The Juvent Micro Impact System allows the person to create more joint range of motion. Now I know there's a chance that nourishment can take place to that joint.
Get one of these.
All right, what's up, everybody? My name is Scott Armstrong from Rebunked.News, Pirate Stream Media, The Last American Vagabond, and The Unjected Show, coming at you live in Nashville from the Reawaken America Tour. And you're tuned in to The Uncensored Truth on Brighteon TV.
All right, thank you. Yes, and I'm back. Now, one of the things that happened this week, I had Christos Hartman on before, and I also had Jason Ian on my show to talk about, they're from Americans in Action, to talk about getting out of the Babylonian corporate system that has taken over D.C. And Americansinaction.info is where I would go for more information. But in any case, the on May Day, you know, May Day is, we always think of it as the, you know, the workers' day, the communist holiday. But actually, May Day goes way back to Babylon. And it actually has, you know, it's Walpurgisnacht. It's a lot of different ceremonies around May Day. But it's also, I used it I just decided to appropriate it for my own liberation. And I sent in my repudiation of my corporate federal citizenship. Now, that doesn't mean you're not an American. It's just that you're no longer, you're divorcing yourself from all of the corporate entanglements. You're no longer a dead entity. You are now a breathing, living child of God, and you are claiming that you live in the state where you live, and you are no longer a corporate entity under the USA Inc. Now, if you think this is all crazy talk, and it does sound so preposterous, I thought this can't be real. This can't really be happening. This can't be the way it is. Well, what did we just see about Australia? The people in Australia have just come to the realization, oh my gosh, we don't have a country. We don't have a constitutional government. We are a corporation under USA Inc. So they're a subcorporation of us somehow. So that is, the world really is crazier than we possibly could understand. And this goes way back. When I wrote the letter, which you can find a copy of at my website, themedicalrebel.com, I put it up. And it's my repudiation. And it's done, it sounds very stylistic in some parts, because there's a legal way you have to write this. And it's very important that you do certain things. And so that's what I did. So that was part of my May Day celebration. The other thing I did, I had my Monday night podcast, and because I've been following the war in Ukraine and Russia troops and things, I got to tell you, I know that you may think I'm crazy about this, but early on, I came out and I said, anybody that doesn't understand the history that goes way back to the Khazarian Empire you just can't understand what's going on here, because you've got it's a tangled mess that you can't easily unravel unless you look at like the history of World War II and how the CIA under the Dulles brothers gave the Soviet desk, they created the Soviet desk for spying to General Galen, one of the two generals not tried at Nuremberg. And he and a bunch of Nazis moved into eastern Ukraine and set up shop. That's essentially what happened. And this war is continuing from that. And there's more to it than that. But anyway, on May 1st in 2014, Yevgeny Prigozhin, who is the founder of the Wagner Group, this is when Yanukovych was deposed in the Maidan Revolution. And what happened is that was done because there's a lot of reasons. But they put a puppet state in, NATO put a puppet state in the Ukraine, and they started terrorizing and murdering the people of the Donbass. It started very early. It didn't just start when we recognized it in 2021 or 2022, when Russia finally declared the special operations. It started way back in 2014. And so Yevgeny Prigozhin, as a businessman, he went to groups of military people that were trying to support the people in the Donbass, in these eastern portions of the Ukraine that are Russian-speaking, that were traditionally, and Kiev, by the way, was the cardinal city of the Rus since 850 or before. So it's traditionally a Russian city, but it's been co-opted since World War II, and probably gone back to World War I. This whole area has been carved up. But in any case, this eastern part of Russia is now the problem. And so they've been attacked by the Ukrainian military since 2014. So they set up patriot groups to try and support them. But Yevgeny Prigozhin found people taking a lot of people's money, but they weren't doing anything. So he went on his own. He found some special operating guys, special forces type Russian guys, and he got old Soviet weapons and he repurposed them. He cleaned them up. He learned how to use body armor. He learned all these things. And he set up his own private military group. And that became the support for the Donbass since 2014. They've been working to try and help these people not be murdered. And now that's a formal special operation, the Wagner, so-called Wagner group, and called the musicians, has been incorporated essentially into the Russian army of sorts. They use, my impression is that they use the Wagner group like in Bakhmut right now. They're the stormtroopers. They're kind of like the Marines. They go in, they get the ground, and then you have the Russian army backing this whole thing up, air support, all the big army stuff that armies do. They're on the wings doing their thing. So anyway, because it's the May 1st was the anniversary of the Wagner group, I excerpted, this is on my Telegram, is the whole video, but I thought it was really a good video that has these guys talking, because you hear all the garbage about, oh, they're just mercenaries, they don't care about anything that money. This addresses, they address that in this. So here's a little video just to celebrate their standing up. Here we go.
Вагнера, музыканты, оркестранты. До недавнего времени ЧВК Вагнера – это одна из самых закрытых и секретных организаций. Для нас сделали огромное исключение. Те кадры, которые вы увидите дальше, никто до нас еще не снимал. Мы побываем на их передовых позициях, посмотрим, как работают штурмовые группы, разведка, подразделения, которые занимаются радиоэлектронной борьбой, чтобы понять, кто они такие, как здесь оказались. Не обижает ли их, когда их называют наемниками, а главное, почему все они здесь?
На приеме.
Наблюдаю скопление пехоты в окопах. До 10 человек закрыли бы цели.
ЧВК Вагнера – это место, где собраны идейные профессионалы своего дела и люди с высокой мотивацией, для которых вот эта работа является приоритетом в жизни. В данном месте собраны патриоты истинные.
Обстановка.
Небольшие осадки, слабее, чем были. Сейчас взаимодействует, он помогает с корректировкой, непосредственно рядом с ним работаем. Также уничтожил склад БК, ребусы скинули на... Так все нормально.
Я принял. Смотри, то, что я тебе говорил, это не меняется, да, дашь нам команду, когда к тебе выдвигаться, максимально быстро подымемся, сделаю там свои дела, ребята, и мы откатим. Фаза штурма, она проходила довольно сложно и затруднена была тем фактором, что в населенном пункте присутствовали мирные жители. Сам населенный пункт был очень сильно подготовлен к нашему приходу. То есть, чтобы вы понимали, каждый дом это готовая позиция. то есть системы окопов и так далее.
Разорван фасовик, камнями огороженная, да?
Да.
Не удалось подорвать.
Хорошо.
Не знаю, 400 грамм тротила не справились.
400 грамм?
Да. Две шашки, одна на одной, одна на хвосте, одна по. Не разорвалась, представляешь? Хвост разлетелся, мина нет.
Были жители мирные, которые рассказывали, что противник, наш противник, им угрожали, если вы типа пойдете в сторону русских, а будем вам стрелять в спину, все такое, что типа это я слышал от них.
А тебя обижают, когда говорят, ну вы же там наемники, вы же за деньги воюете, у вас идей никаких нет?
На самом деле это, да, как бы неприятно это слышать. Потому что это, извиняюсь, дураки говорят, которые вообще не понимают, про что говорят, о чем говорят и про кого говорят. И если бы, я думаю, они бы хотя бы на денек сюда попали и увидели, чем мы занимаемся, что мы делаем, как живем, как общаемся, они бы совсем по-другому бы говорили.
У каждого человека свое мнение, поэтому я работаю на благо российского народа, на благо России. А называть меня там наемником или еще, это их личное право.
Противник оставляет своих бойцов нашими ребятами. Уже много было захоронено, но они же должны понимать, что мы не похоронная команда. Им проще их считать без вести пропавшими, не доставлять тело домой, чтобы не платить страхование.
Вижу, как здесь люди страдают, мирные граждане, которые просто, например, я вчера видел, ходил в парикмахерскую к женщине, она меня подстригала, мы с ней разговаривали, общались, она такая же, как и мы, добрая, мы с ней разговаривали, а на следующий день туда прилетел Хаммерс, и она умерла, и как бы жалко, что обычные люди, которые не в силах себя защитить, они страдают от этого.
Вот это вот был прилет 152-го снаряда. При этом всем мы видим степень разрушений. И то, что нам показывают чаще всего украинцы, с одного снаряда так, ну, вот это один снаряд. А те разрушенные города, которые мы видим, это чаще всего прям артиллерия работает по квадратам неделя за неделей. То есть, чтобы разрушить до состояния руин город.
И они говорят, что все русскоязычное все население, ну, в принципе, оно не должно существовать. Вот. Поэтому очень много попадается сдающихся, так скажем, в плен идейных, которые вот именно за идею терроризма их националистического.
Твой дед воевал? Могу сказать, потому что он умер, когда родился. Как ты? Бабушка мне рассказывала.
Вообще не говорила.
А ты знаешь, сколько человек погибло в Великой Отечественной на Украине в боях?
Ну, как бы у нас здесь телевизор он показывает, но в основном показывает украинские каналы. И уровень их пропаганды, он прям... Ну, не знаю, только для детей, для школьников и для взрослых людей.
Провели сегодня новое заседание ставки командовача.
Они 8 лет кошмарили Донбасс, а сейчас это все прям в цвет выставляет, как будто Донбасс кошмарили мы. Мы сюда зашли, здесь были мирные жители. Сегодня, вчера фосфор сыпали. А по телевизору показывают, что мы их засыпаем. Хотя у нас даже нет их снаряда. Пришло понимание, что в жизни это там, не 20, 25, 30 лет, которые ты прожил. В жизни это какое-то такое одно мгновение, которое, допустим, на гражданке ты этого не замечаешь, а здесь ты понимаешь, что любой свист, причем он возникает резко, это может твоя близкость просто закончиться.
Направление 45-27-90, 806.
27-90, 806, найдем заряжен.
Выстрел!
Я считаю, что самое тяжелое на войне – это потери. Очень тяжело терять людей, терять товарищей, терять командиров, тех, кого ты давно знаешь.
Потеря, товарищ. Трудно описать. Частица, какая-то частица меня просто откололась. Потому что очень долгое время бок о бок общались, друг другу там какие-то секреты там рассказывали, также шутили, смеялись. А потом какой-то момент раз и там каким-то определенным уже поделиться не с кем. Очень тяжело.
То есть каждый раз обстрел хаймарсами вот этих городов Стаханова, Ирмина, Первомайска, Попасны. То есть я очень лично это переживаю.
Каждый, кто идет в бой, даже тот атеист, все равно во что-то верит. Это сплочает бойцов. Я сколько встречал, атеистов нету в окопе. Даже атеист тот в материю верит, чтобы выжить.
Ребята сказали, напишешь вот эту молитву еще в 2014 году, и если она будет с тобой, ты всегда останешься целым. И с тех пор как бы были моменты, когда стоял бы я, например, на сантиметр назад, чуть на сантиметр правее, были такие два момента, и меня бы здесь не было. Поэтому эту молитву я всегда с собой ношу, и даже сейчас. То есть она уже ветхая. Вот она. Я его всегда ношу с собой. Сейчас продвигают такую теорию, что вот, ну что там это победа, да, 9 мая, что вы с ней ходите, вот это вот, что вы ходите на бессмертном полку. Там, например, я всегда с сыном старшим, мы ходим на бессмертный полк, когда была такая возможность. Вот. А ведь, по сути, кто те люди, которые несут эти портреты? Это те же самые люди, то же самое ДНК, просто обновленная, перерожденная, вот она ходит. Вот, и все. Вот я отношусь именно к тем людям, которые выиграли Великую Отечественную войну, и мы выиграем эту войну.
Сейчас активно работает процесс уничтожения России, как физически, путем развязывания боевых действий наших границ, так и морально, путем прививания ложных ценностей населению страны.
Но опять же, у каждого человека свое предназначение. Каждому человеку дается жизнь, чтобы он выполнил то, что у него предписано на роду. Я воин. Я защищаю мирное население от врага.
All righty. Well, you know, it's hard to know sometimes who's who and which side you should think about. But I'm going to tell you, when you see the Ukrainian, and this is not the Ukrainian people, this is the people in charge in Ukraine, arresting the Russian Orthodox priests and anybody that speaks Russian. But they're they're arresting the priests. They're throwing the icons of the churches out into the bush. And these guys are going through and picking them up. And you notice he kept a prayer with him. These are Orthodox Christians in Russia. And it's been an Orthodox Christian nation since 850 or something like that. So there really are two sides, and we're in a spiritual war. So we need to pay attention to this. Anyway, and you know, the other thing, I watch this and I think about these guys that are, they're doing it for their country. And it may come here that we have to do the same thing, You know, we may have to take back our country in pieces like they are. And as you heard him say, you know, the destruction of Russia is in full play. It's not just a war. It's also a war for ideas. And boy, is that what we see in America today. So thank you for joining me. And we'll see you next week. And we'll do something. It won't be a May Day celebration next week. I'll have a guest. So thank you very much for joining me.